11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Sir, why are you in Barry's fishing net?
He ran right into it.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty apes!
First off, that is incredibly rude. You ran straight into Barry's fishing net.
It's ruined!
How is Barry gonna fish now?
I'm just trying to find some patches and some stickers.
Well, all you have to do is go to gearwebsites.com and you can find two-way related stickers and patches. And even if you need web consulting, technology consulting, 3D printing, anything like that, gearwebsites.com. Now, please get out of the net.
I'm sorry, jerk.
And welcome, everybody. Hopefully my microphone's working. Let's
see. Jerk.
Hey, that's pretty good lag. Okay, sounds like it's working. So, let's get started. We started a little bit late here on the live. Gizzard was corking us. We all know that. He does that on Fridays, but whatever. We'll wait till he's done. For those listening as a podcast, welcome. And on Fridays, we go live at midnight Eastern to take a look back at what happened this week as far as a focus on our Second Amendment, what our Second Amendment protects. Maybe a little bit of gun stuff and some radio shows and some other stuff that we follow each week. So I had all my stuff set up, and then right before I went live, I realized I better restart everything just so we'd have a better shot at the live stream tonight. And now we'll drag the little puppy down into the corner here and we'll screen share over here. So let's take a look. We're going to be talking about the week, at least what I was able to. I mean, it's not like I know everything that happened this week, but everything I was able to keep track of this week. And that's thanks to our patrons. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the time or the inclination to write all this stuff down. But we're 1,700 episodes into this show. And, well, I can't even remember when we started doing the wrap-ups on Friday. Maybe 5 years ago or something like that. So, really appreciate the time to be able to do this. Now, I don't have time to just sit around all week listening to nothing but shows. But the stuff that I do listen to, I write down, and the stuff that's important is what we're here to talk about. And I'll try not to be too distracted while I'm losing money. Those are bids being taken from me as we're chatting here. But thanks again to our patrons, people that subscribe to what we do as capitalists. They have memberships over at Patreon. Some people are over here on YouTube. And those members help pay for the 3 servers that we have out there, running the dozens and dozens of websites, as well as a little bit of software, nothing crazy, but a couple $100 worth of software each month, and then the time, which I definitely appreciate being able to take time to do this stuff. All right, so what we're really doing here is we're taking a look at what happened this week as far as what our Second Amendment protects, and I'm pushing that information here on YouTube, but also out to Patreon, to a newsletter occasionally, Substack, which is what we're looking at right now, and then Instagram, and of course our podcast, which we'll bring up and mention that podcast again for everybody. And we now consolidate our podcast over on Podbean, which is pretty neat because now we're able to see all the people, at least it gives us some numbers and stuff from the people that are listening and where and all that. So it's pretty cool. We're definitely enjoying it. Anybody that wants to check it out, feel free. And we appreciate it if you say hey or like or thumb, or you know how it is with the platforms out there. The more you engage, the more that those platforms know to recommend our stuff. And do that for everybody that you appreciate, not just our show. We appreciate it, but everybody would appreciate it. So appreciate you for being interactive like that. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take the information we're going to talk about today and push it out to a bunch of different sources. In addition, I don't really talk about it all the time, but I push things out to, let's see, Minds, Locals, Getter, and MeWe. And then a couple of things are automatically routed over to like Facebook a little bit and Twitter. So the socials as well. But mostly we're trying to move this information around and get it out there on a regular basis. Now this, well, I guess we'll kind of chart it out. We're going to talk about some news of the week, and I'm definitely not a reporter here. This is just, I'll tell you about an email that I'm pulling most of that data from. Then we'll talk about some 2A stuff that happened this week. We'll talk about some gun stuff that happened this week. Almost went past it. Then we'll talk about some radio shows that we listen to, and we'll talk about some interviews that we listen to each week. And then we'll wrap it up with a little bit of stuff that we were able to do this week under our own Gun Websites channel. All right, so getting into this first portion of the show, and I'll take a minute here to say thanks to everybody who is joining us live. A bunch of people came over from Gizzard's show, so we appreciate that. Ashley was over here first, though, so welcome. And Keith is joining us. If there's other people out there, well, I know you're out there because the robots are telling me, but you haven't said anything in the chat, so you know, no one else is going to know you're out there. Feel free to say hi, and we'll dig into it. So as far as this news of the week, I get most of this from the NSSF newsletter that comes out on as via email on Friday afternoons. I think they do a really good job of summarizing the week. It's a little wordy. We've attempted a couple of times to just read the newsletter, and it takes forever. So this takes a good hour to summarize it into these bullet points. And yeah, I've definitely filtered everything down to just the bullet points, but that's sort of the point we're trying to do here, is just cover the stuff, not get in depth. All right, so there's a lot going on. It's an election year. Gun owners, unfortunately, are not consistently defensive. That makes sense. Is that the right word? We don't defend ourselves over time. So as a community, we change, and because of that, we're susceptible to often the same attacks over and over again. And it's frustrating, and that's one of the reasons our ranks change, because the people who fight get frustrated and leave. And then it takes more people to come in and get mad, fight, until they get discouraged and leave, and then hopefully new people have come in to pick up the slack, I guess, or whatever. So that's where we're at right now, is we have an election cycle coming up. There's a lot of apathy right there, and then there's a lot of frustration all over the place. So I'm not doom and gloom. I'm not overly optimistic. I'm not trying to be impartial, because I have a lot of passion here. But we can't make people do stuff. Liberty is us being able to be free together. So let's work on that. And let's focus on some of the stuff that's going on. There's only a couple of good things, unfortunately. I don't want to make it seem like this is the only good things that are happening, because, again, I'm not a reporter. I don't have infinite time. I don't have any time, really. This is, luckily, I'm just old and been around long enough to be able to get information effectively or efficiently each week. But I don't have any time to go seek it out. So I'm not suggesting this is the only good news this week. But the only good news I found was that we have the governor in Virginia knocking down a bunch of gun control stuff that was pushed at him. I guess we expect that, but it is good to see it, come to fruition, come through, and not just be assumed. Then we have the Second Amendment Privacy Act became law in both Kentucky and Wyoming. And really all that does is, I believe this is the one that tells the credit card companies that they can't use a special code. Excuse me. So if that's the case, then yay. There's other Second Amendment Protection Acts that used to happen, where the states would essentially write a law to, stating that the state will never allow resources of the state to be used for federal firearms law enforcement. And that's an effort to preemptively stop federal police from, commandeering local police to do confiscations or background checks or anything else. So this is a little bit different. This is concern over the banking, I guess, concern over the credit card system. It's hard to say it's unwarranted because we're about to talk about some other stuff on the other side of this whole thing in a minute here. So Kentucky and Wyoming, you know, those are good states, states that are kind of solid anyway, but good to hear states reiterate freedom, individual freedom. All right, I guess there was only two good things because now it's bad.
Oh, good.
Washington's governor signed more gun control. I wish I could get into it, but I don't even know it all. There's a bunch of it. And unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things, while it's it's a loss, it's not going to be our only loss, and it's not the largest loss right now, like at the moment, which sucks because the people that are taking that kick in the groin are, well, if nothing else, they'd like some time for others to understand, you know, grieve with them. But since we have other states that are in the motions, we don't have time to stop. So governor, that's the first thing, governor of Washington. Then we have, well, these aren't in any particular order. These would be not even the order that they were in the newsletter or in the email, but I kind of pieced things together and patched stuff in.
Wait, why am I gonna do so much?
So I should probably take a second. We're only 12 minutes in the show. I'm going to take a quick commercial here and just get some deep breathing and try to get some oxygen in my lungs. You don't want to listen to that. So here's just another quick commercial. Where's my other commercial? Is it this one? No. Where's the other one? Okay.
Hey, did you know that you could help support our future projects and let everyone know you're a fan of what we do? Check out our print-on-demand store. We have a tab here on YouTube. When you click on it, you can choose from a bunch of different items. We have shirts and posters and coffee mugs. Click on the one you like. When you find the design you want to put on it, choose a color and a size if it's appropriate. And when you purchase these items, a portion goes to help fund our future projects. We really do appreciate your support. You get some cool stuff. When you get that stuff, post pictures here and on other platforms, and we'll hook you up next time you order from our gear website store. Thank you for your support of GunWebsites.com.
All right. So I did some square breathing where you count four, you breathe in, you count four, you hold it, you count four, you breathe out, you count four, you hold it, you count four. So you just kind of go around a square like that. And it's a lot of oxygen in your lungs. If you're tired, it puts you to sleep. But if you're not tired, if you're trying not to be tired, you can get kind of a boost of oxygen that way. All right, so thanks everybody for your patience there. Try not to yawn 100 times as we're talking here. So the like I say, these aren't in any particular order, but the next thing is the federal judges here in the United States ruled that Mexico's lawsuit against five gun shops here in Arizona is good to go. So that's frustrating and lame. Arizona is definitely losing. We've kind of lost any amount of resistance that we had for many years with the with our state level organization. Is that changed? And it's morphed into a new generation of people running it. It's not the same as it was, and we have a totally different state, so there's nothing to fall back on or rely on, and we're suffering from that. So we have now Mexico, the country of Mexico, suing five gun shops in Arizona, as if five gun shops in Arizona have any kind of responsibility or are, responsibility for what's happening in Mexico. So the federal judge here said that's good to go, and we'll see what happens with that.
All right, well, is that on?
So then I'm going to go on to Chicago, which this isn't new news, but Chicago has filed a lawsuit against Glock, a public nuisance lawsuit, it's described as. But this week, 13 attorney generals from 13 states, I should say, added on to that lawsuit. So frustrating, and you're going to hear the sky is falling, you're going to hear the exploiters, and you're going to hear the people who aren't paying attention. They're going to complain about this stuff because it's happening, right? Well, fine, they're allowed to. But this stuff is happening because they can't do some of the other stuff in their playbook. So that's one thing to be not optimistic about, but at least aware of. When we're looking at their strategy, are they forced to use their strategy, their tactics right now? Or are there tactics that they're using out of necessity or out of some other goal, right? So I think it's interesting to see that this is on the table again. This the concept of suing Glock is where we got the Hillary hole, and it's where we saw the protection of lawful commerce and arms, the PLACA, the thing that they're all worried about, incorrectly describe it as protection from lawsuits from the gun industry. That's because nuisance lawsuits against Glocks or against the company Glock was the last straw and resulted in Congress creating law. So right now what we have is states' attorney general, so a political entity of the states, the legal political entity of each state in 13 states, deciding to try to do what was done in the 1980s. All that was successful from the anti-side in the 80s was the Hillary hole. The Smith & Wesson said, okay, we'll give you a hole, put a lock in here, we'll do what you want for Clintons. And then Glock said, nah, how about no? And they stopped him in their tracks, but with the lawsuits, which effectively stopped lawsuits in general, but it also happened at such a large volume at the national level that laws were changed. So we don't have politicians who are capable of doing that at the moment, but we have a election year, as we talked about earlier. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one, what this lawsuit does to the elections coming up, if anything. All right, so the next item is a $750 million taxpayer-funded National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center being housed in the Department of Justice. So, yeah, that's annoying. That comes from the 2002 Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which was the Republican-backed gun control of 2022. So now is the time to primary people who touched it, because we're now, I'm assuming they printed that money, but $750 million worth of taxpayer money over the next 10 years. So this isn't the first one, and this isn't the last one. We're going to hear about this for the next 10 years. I think one thing to keep in mind, again, is that with a capable different party in office, doesn't have to be the opposite party, it could be a third party, but with a capable party in office who's not interested in the massive state infrastructure and bureaucracy and scapegoat to suggest that the state is responsible for peace or is responsible for the lack of crime or something, and that you can always just throw more money at the government if it's not happening, if it's not working. So this ultimate scapegoat, this ultimate scam that they've got going on with all these little pieces that they've been putting in with this presidency or under this presidency are all just under the executive branch. So everything that exists now can be removed. It will, doesn't mean it will be removed, but it can be demanded that it be removed. So as frustrating as these things sound, all of this stuff can be changed. So it's not fast and it's not easy, but it is possible. And it's certainly a goal that's worthy of seeing on the table. You're allowed to challenge the national level organizations when all they'll do is yell about lawsuits, when there's other things like this money being spent and there's lobbying the people in Congress, there's organizing petitions and awareness to change these executive branch decisions. So this is frustrating. People are going to exploit the situation, are just going to talk about this shit. They're just going to get all mad about it, and they're just going to get it to use this scenario to get you to spend $30. That's the cycle. Get out of that cycle. Spend your $30, fine. But then don't be satisfied to hear other people's pitch to get $30. Get pissed. Those $30 add up. And there's 5 million people out there throwing $30. Demand more than lawsuits from those organizations when they start bringing up this old ass news. So this is Republican back gun control. This is the consequences of it. If you're paying attention to 22 when it went through, this whole thing is bullshit. It's going to happen for the next like 10 years. They're going to keep taking this money and doing this every single year. So quit getting mad about it and let's do something about it. I'll get a vote. This is an election year. This is the time to do something about it. Obviously, it doesn't mean just vote. It means, you know, when you say vote, hopefully you understand that means get out there, be an awareness engine, and motivate some change. Alrighty. So I'm not getting much. There's a lot of people watching again. It's weird. It's getting kind of odd that so many people watch on Fridays and nobody says nothing. I guess everybody's sleeping. But I'll just start acting like I'm just talking here. But feel free to chime in if you're part of the show. I'm not really a big fan of just presenting information. It's more comfortable for me. More interesting when people are part of the show. But you don't have to be. You can just sit there, I guess. All right, so moving on, since we're already quite a bit into the show and we're still in these little bullet points here at the top. Let's see, we had 33 anti-gun senators and representatives write to the Treasury demanding that the Treasury Department force financial institutions and credit card processors to use a firearm-specific category code. So this tired, lame BS is obviously some angle that they have not yet tried, and they think that they have something here. And as we saw, some states are going so far as to waste their time creating preventions to this stuff. Once guns are normal, this stuff won't even, this would be laughable. So this is frustrating, but every barking dog, you know what I mean? Every barking dog. So next we get HR 776, the Prevent Illegal Gun Resales Act, which should punish firearms retail for the illegal straw purchases, which is BS. It's anti-gun. So this is, I forget where this guy's from, Florida? Some representative in Florida is putting this one out there. I haven't seen a lot of action on this, action on any bills right now. So I don't know if that's just because no bills are doing anything. This isn't really the time of year to put bills in, so I'm not sure where this was instigated by. But this is the only thing in the newsletter that was even about this stuff, so I figured I'd include it. Punishing retailers, punishing the gun shops for straw purchases is beyond ridiculous. So it's one of those things where you'd think, why are we even looking at it other than to be aware of it? But it should be laughable. It's the same concept as saying, like, I don't know, a car dealership is responsible for a getaway vehicle in a bank robbery or something. Let's see. So another one that I'm still trying to figure out, I haven't heard any presentations about it, so I'm not sure this one, other than reading about it. But the Attorney General in New York demands that the commercial side of the Lake City government ammunition factory be ended to increase gun control. So, or I guess they would probably say for safety. So, sounds like the Army told them no, they're not going to do that. But again, when they, I don't know, you can get upset when they're using new tactics and strategies, or you can go, why are they using new tactics and strategies? Is it because their others are done? Is it because we're winning? Usually people that are in the driver's seat and have figured it all out and are just waiting, you know, just driving it to the finish line, they don't start new tactics. So it's typically an indication that somebody's reaching for straws when they start weird stuff like this, but let's not assume and let's keep stuff on our radar, but keep driving, right? When we have no NFA, when guns are normal, when people are more worried about the caliber that you carry and if you have a respectable caliber or not, then we know that we've, you know, we can move on from this stuff. But until then, every barking dog, if we stop for every fucking barking dog, we will never get to our goal. A lot of people like to stop at the barking dogs. They're comfortable stopping at the barking dogs. A lot of people think it's awesome. They get to stop in the middle of the street, bark right back at that dog, knowing the dog can't do nothing or won't do nothing. And both of them are satisfied. They both made a bunch of ruckus. But the person walking on the street get to where they're going? No. So let's stop worrying about these barking dogs and keep moving. I try to do this as fast as possible at the beginning of the show with this goal, right? Like, this stuff is important to understand, but let's keep moving. The gun control lobbyist. So this guy who's running for Montana governor is a gun control lobbyist who works for Moms Demand, or one of them, I forget which one. And he's recently come up as a expert witness for the anti-right side at the testimonials for, I don't remember, it was for the ATF guy or for something else at the national level. And he's a total a-hole. He worked for the firearms industry for a while, and now he's anti-right and works for Bloomberg, and he's now running for Montana governor, I guess allegedly as pro-2A, of course. So, again, when you can't enunciate your position because it's correct, you lie, cheat, and deceive. So when we see the anti-rights folks doing such tactics and such things, you know, do we just get offended and upset and get on our high horse because we're so much better? Or do we understand that if they're going down for the count, you don't stop fighting? I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before. When the other side is starting to show signs of losing, you don't let up. You finish the fight. So it's a great time to start finishing the fight this year. Canada has spent $42 million. So this one, we're switching to Canada for the last one here. Canada has spent $42 million in the last 4 years on a federal firearms confiscation program that doesn't even exist yet. I think they said they hired 60 people and they spent a lot of money, and $42 million, and that's Canadian. So I don't know how many of those quarters with the ducks on them are, but that's a heck of a lot of them. 42 million of them, and nothing. So the other side will often suggest that other countries are ahead of the curve, or, you know, forward thinking, or blah, blah, blah. So don't forget things like $42 million over 4 years, $10 million a year spent on nothing, because this is a scam, because they don't really care. This is a distraction from our other failed policies. They understand that if they don't fix the roads, and if they let the bears bite everybody, that they can blame guns, and now there's three issues instead of two issues. And if they spend all their time talking about guns and no time talking about the bears biting people and whatever else I said, then they control the narrative. So we have to stop with the barking dogs, get on with this stuff. All right, so we're going to move on to the 2A talk section next. And I kind of put this stuff in order as I'm posting it, but didn't have a lot this week. And it's not because a lot didn't happen as much as I was just busy trying to pay the bills. So let's get into it. I don't know about you, but I have a big tax bill every year. I don't have a big tax refund, so I'm trying to make money so that I can pay last year's taxes, so that I can make money next month to pay off this year's taxes. I don't know how that works, but I'll catch up one day, right? So two-way talk. First thing that almost always shows up is Brooke Cheney's projects, Suicide Prevention Saturday. This week she had a show on before that. She had Gizzard on, and I think just Deep Gizzard and DJ was somebody else on with me. Gizzard is out there. But that was sort of a pre-show before they did the regular show. And then her regular show, was it pre-recorded? I think it was pre-recorded with her friend. And that was a pretty good show. So Brooke does a chat each Saturday afternoon. It's usually less than 20 minutes, half an hour or less. And the goal is to focus on mental health awareness and suicide prevention, and to offer tips, skills, and ways to further our conversations with each other, with just awareness of the situation so that we can help each other, but then so we can have better conversations with each other, people that are pro-freedom. And then for those folks who are anti-rights, we can have more useful conversations with them once they understand that the numbers they get told, which are gun deaths, they can't use violent crime anymore. They can't, because it's very low. They can't use violence really at all, so because those numbers are so low. They have to include suicide, so they have to say gun deaths to be accurate. And very rarely do the people who think of gun violence think of suicide as violence. So having the ability to have these conversations gives us an ability to change people's minds and not just yell at them about our rights and our property, but instead help them understand that they're being lied to and they're being used in this back and forth because they are not fully, or they had not been fully aware of the situation. In addition to that, you know, Brooke has other projects or other things that she does. She brings those into the mix on Saturdays as well, but she does things on her channel throughout the week. So check her out. I didn't watch this one yet. Actually, I did. I listened to a part of this, but I think I was listening to something else. So I didn't listen to this with any kind of focus. But essentially, it's Four Boxes Diner talking about how if schools didn't exist at the founding, how could gun-free zones at schools exist during the founding? And the answer is, of course, they did not. And why this matters. So gun-free zones are definitely a bad idea. They're sold as the solution, but in reality, they attract the worst kind of people, and they're not an effective solution. So definitely a valid position, a valid with people who blindly accept whatever they're told for, you know, just do this, save just one life and all that. So speaking of conversations in New Jersey, Meet the Pressers and Writing Shotgun with Charlie do a project together where they bring on guests who they've each had on their own shows. They bring them together and kind of talk to them again. And it's not a rerun as much as an opportunity to hear more of the story and to get caught up with their guests' adventures and projects. In this case, this week they had Kelly and Teresa from New Jersey, which is a good show. They also had some guy on from the New Jersey organization. I forget, probably CNJFO. So something, Confederation of New Jersey Firearms Owners, something like that. And pretty good conversation. They usually go by an hour. There was more stuff that happened this week. I just didn't put it down here, so I apologize. But, yeah, if you know more, feel free to put it in the comments or something. Ashley is saying, my high school had 3 off-duty police officers that were armed, felt completely safe. We had one guy, back when I was in high school, there was one guy, and he would be there sometimes, but he was just some guy. Like, he was a cop, but he was like a detective or something, so he just looked like some guy. He didn't wear a uniform or nothing. And if he carried a gun, it was concealed, and I'm sure he did, but it wasn't ever brought up because there was no need. And I don't even know what he was there for. I think he was probably there if, like, something happened and they needed to guide the fire trucks to someplace or something. Like, he was more of there as a facilitator than, like, nowadays. But I went to school in the 80s, so we didn't have the same kind of situations today, I guess. We'll keep moving. So we'll get into the gun talk. This separate than 2A, of course. Gun stuff is fun and it's interesting and it's technical and has nothing to do with 2A. 2A is about rights, and it's with all the political shit that we need to worry about in order to just coexist. And then the guns is, you know, our own, the hobby stuff, or for me at least, the hobby stuff or the tech side of it. I know for some people it's all there is, but I like to differentiate them. So She Fires goes live on Sundays. And this case, she was on location in South Carolina after having attended an event there. So always a good show. Ashley seems she fires awesome. She is. I really appreciate the people. You'll notice the people I usually focus on are the people that either do live stuff on the regular, or like Gizzard, or She Fires, or, well, Toby, really, but some of the others, Foss. There are people that host live conversations regularly so that people who use YouTube as an entertainment medium or as a communication hub or as a news source or all of the above or more, gives people who are interested the ability to join in on the regular. And I do that to some extent. So I'm in the middle of the night, obviously 10 people watching type of thing. I guess tonight it's dozens of people, but still. Most of the time, the shows that are on during the day can attract way more people. And what's cool about the internet is it's interactive. So while these shows are live, people are having a back and forth. So it's not just you listening to programmed speeches or, you know, pre-recorded programming. Instead, it's just organic. It's real. It's authentic. And it just happens. And everybody's living, everybody's experiencing each other. And, you know, we see the progress and we understand the rates and the movements and stuff. So I really appreciate it. So She Fires is, I would say, not even new anymore. She's kind of the last wave, I guess. There's newer people than her, but she's the like last or second to the last wave of folks going live. And nobody lasts forever, as you might notice. And She Fires is going strong, so hopefully we'll see a lot of wind in her sails, and we'll see her show go for a long time. But her show on Sundays is kind of firearms, concealed carry, and her experience is kind of focused. Really cool. This one is normally in the radio show stuff, but they do other things besides the radio show. So Cape Gun Works is a gun shop up in Massachusetts, over in Massachusetts, whatever it is. And they do an event now. Does it say how many? I think it's the fourth or fifth year that they've done this event. And it's a golf and shooting event. The golf event is in the middle of the year, and the shooting event is in September. And the shooting event happens at the gun shop, at the gun range, and they shoot, oh, I forget what he said, 22 and 9 millimeter, I think. So they're going to shoot like a 9 millimeter, a 22 pistol and a 22 carbine of some sort, and then a 9 millimeter pistol and a 9 millimeter carbine. And there's some sort of series of field or series of that they shoot, and that's what Toby is showing off in this video right here. Let's see. Gizzard does his show right before this one. Thanks for good. Thanks for sending people over this way. Last week he had an interesting show talking about legal immigration or illegal immigrants, I guess, and carry. And this week he's had a show about what to do after constitutional carry happens. That's an interesting one. Gizzard always does a couple of different segments, so like he's been putting different topics in the big segment of the show each week. Another one who I mentioned hosts on the regular is Foss. So typically every Wednesday he'll host the Mouse Party, which is a non-topic, of course unscripted conversation. You can join in, anybody can join in. It's in the middle of the night, so it's great for for late shifters, overnight folks, or people that are just up for some reason. But it's always recorded. You can always listen to it in the future. But anybody can join in. And this week, we had a pretty good show. He'll also do the overnight, which is every other weekend on Saturday nights. And this weekend was one of the overnights. And again, I think it was a pretty good show this week. A lot of people in there, too. Let's see, we're in the gun section now. Flipping over to Texas, I guess, I didn't read the whole thing, but Clover, I think one of his kids' friends, a friend of his son, hadn't been shooting before. So it looks like Clover had him out to his place and let him go through. Can you imagine going to Clover's place and being like, I've never shot a gun before? Probably a little bit of everything. more of whatever it is you like. An opportunity like that. Another one who has a lot of guns, probably has a good time shooting them, is Chris from the 740. And he does a show on Thursday nights now, the 740 show. Worth checking out. It's a panel and you know, a lot of live conversation going on. Again, they pay attention to the live and incorporate it to some extent into the show, but he also brings people on and does a cool like panel discussion, kind of not an interview, but a panel discussion with a host or with a guest each week. Not every week, but most weeks. Let's see, we've got our friend Bullets for Bucks up in Wyoming, and look at this awesome video. Like, how excellently edited. This is just a stupid commercial. I wonder if we get copyrighted for this. But look at this video. Look at how seamlessly edited this thing. What amazing editing work on this. A lot of times you just want to watch some of these videos and go, dang, what amazing editing. All right, so check out Steven's stuff. He does videos up in Wyoming, mostly hunting and bolt action stuff. Did he tell me about this place? No. He told me about this place. Somebody told me. I can't. I'm drawing a blank. But I found a new channel this week, the Mosin Museum. We've got a link to it here if you want to check it out. And I forgot where we were talking about Mosins and looked around a little bit and found this one. And then mentioned it, and whoever was with us had said, oh yeah, that's a good channel. So we not just found one, but also have it under authority that it's a decent channel. Now I can delete comments. How cool is that? So let me just tidy up my comments here. Put a bad link out there. And it's pretty neat. It's a virtual museum dedicated to what they're describing the most interesting firearm in the world. I don't know if I go that far. Pretty interesting gun, though. And it's mosinmuseum.com. You can check it out. Next is Williams. Our friends in Nebraska have been doing a series. What is it called? I can't remember the name of their channel. Is it We Love Nebraska is the name of the channel? Live Love Nebraska. Whatever. I forget the name of the channel, but it's Travis and his friend. They're going around eating at places and doing reviews, and I'm a big fan of food and looking at restaurants in other towns or in other places. So the cool thing is also that they're not going to chains, which, you know, I wouldn't watch a show about chains, and it's just super interesting. People in Nebraska are so different than us, or people that aren't in Nebraska. So interesting listening to their reviews and stuff. Let's see. Now we get to the radio shows. It's actually not that much stuff this week, but I'm blabbing here, so it's taken a whole hour to talk about it, but it's probably only about a half an hour of real content this week. I started off the radio shows with a suggestion from Foss. I think on Wednesday he mentioned that he had listened to the book on tape for Planet of the Apes. So the movie and the TV shows and all that, or the movies, I guess, and the TV show, all were based on a book. And the book is from 1963. It's called Planet of the Apes. And I don't know how to say the guy's name, so I won't try. It's from France. But you can listen to the audiobook. And I think he said it's a little over an hour. I haven't listened to it yet, but I've got it on my short list of stuff to listen to next time I'm working in a way I can listen. But you might want to check it out if you're a fan of the audio book. Let's see, at this point in the show, we're going to head over to guncalendars.com. I mentioned our Patreons, people that, as capitalists, subscribe to what we do over here, using that Patreon platform. We can use that as a blog, and it allows us to like just say thanks and stuff, have levels over there. So every once in a while, when we're able to send stuff out, or when we do send stuff out, we can send stuff out through that Patreon platform. But one of the things that those Patreons are making possible is, like I mentioned, the servers and some software. Software's not much. It's little stuff. I've been doing this stuff for a long time. So I know when it's worth spending a couple of bucks to have somebody who knows what they're doing figure something out, and I know when it's worth doing it myself. And I'm cheap, so I do it myself most of the time. But the calendar, for example, it's pretty fancy software, and I just don't want it to break down all the time. So I mean, I'm paying for that, or the Patreons are helping to pay for that. And it's not super expensive. It's maybe, I forget what it is. It's a once a year thing. But I really appreciate those Patreons that make it possible for us to keep this website up there. As you notice, there's no ads or anything. There's just a couple of links to our own projects, the Minuteman University and Every Second Matters, but then Second Amendment Foundation and our Arizona Citizens Defense League, the JPFO and the GOA. So, and there'll be pays us for those. Those are just, you know, because we stick stuff up there because we support them. But this is just a resource, and we really appreciate the fact that we're able to post this up here without a bunch of sales or ads or weird stuff, because you really couldn't put something like this up with just gun ads. You'd have to put weird clickbaity stuff all around it. And yeah, I really appreciate that the Patreons are out there to make it possible for us to do this stuff. So anyway, taking a look at it, it's not full, and I wish I could say that it was, but I don't have unlimited time. So right now it's a little bit dry. If I looked at my spreadsheet where I keep all the data, there is more data to put in here, but I've kind of been migrating the calendar from some old software that we used 2 years ago for the last year or so into this new software. And I think there's a couple of months here from probably March through July, I don't know, June, where it's a little sparse. I have to go in and put some effort in, but it takes a good day for each month to kind of migrate everything over. So anyway, that's a little description of why it's a little barren over here. Well, I know Barren is out there. I don't know if he's little, but it's a little sparse over here than it would be, or than it was 2 years ago with the old calendar. But in any case, if we go over to the calendar, we can see things like the Cartridge Show, the St. Louis International Cartridge Show, SLICS, is a huge, it's the largest ammunition collector show, and that's happening as we speak. And if I had my way, I'd be over there right now as well, but trying not to pay attention to it since I don't have any money to buy anything or even get there. It would be cool to attend one day, though. I'm a big fan of ammo collecting, and hanging out with ammo collectors blows me away every time, because I don't even know all the stuff there is to collect. But there's a lot of ways to collect ammo. Oh man, I don't have anything on here. Next week, coming up on April 4th, we have the anniversary of the passing of Roy Weatherby, who created a bunch of hunting rifles and then other accessories, shotguns, and even some calibers. And he was out in California. And then next weekend, if you have the ability, so next weekend, April 6th, if you got the ability, the largest gun show in the country happens Saturday and Sunday twice a year in April, and I think in October or November, or I think it's October. And it's the Wanamaker Tulsa Arm Show. Very cool gun show. Man, I wish I could get to that thing. It's possible. No, it's not even possible. If I somehow win the lottery, it's possible. But maybe November this year. Anyway, there is other things happening, but we'll have to wait until I can get some time to update them, and then we'll have more interesting things to talk about on the gun calendars thing. Let's see, Hillbilly Up is out there. Welcome. Hope you're having a good evening. I know it's late for a lot of people, so I do appreciate people that are up in the middle of the night to do this one. Or if you are one of the people that are up in the middle of the night anyway, that's why we do this show for you. So glad to be able to do it for you. I'm not going to apologize for doing the show in the middle of the night, but I do understand that a lot of people, you know, have to make a point of getting up this late or staying up this late. There's probably no reason to. You could listen to it in the morning, so I do appreciate it. You get to watch the dog sleep live, so that's got to be real helpful if you're trying to sleep right now. Let's see, what did this dog do today? He pretty much just watched me do stuff. He gets pretty exhausted. He has to monitor what I'm doing and supervise and report back to the other dog every time I do something. So it's pretty busy for him, pretty frustrating. All right, so now we're going to get into some military interviews. You don't have to be in the military to appreciate interesting stuff. And you don't even have to, there's hardly any gore. I mean, I guess there must be, and I just don't think about it, but there's very little glorification or fixation on the gross stuff. These are challenges. These are decisions. These are consequences. These are life stories. These are like, you know, the long-term results of these things. And then in every single one of these, actually, I don't know of any of them that don't incorporate the people's, both the interviewer and the interviewee end up talking about their daily habits, whether it be like diet, exercise, and lifestyle, and family and stuff, so that's on the table, some of them more than others, but then also their transition out of the military, which is ultimately interesting, just as everyone's experience in the military is completely unique and interesting and different. People's transition out is, again, completely unique and interesting and different. And again, some of the programs, some of the actual adventures or stories, you know, kind of depend on that transition. But that is illuminating, and you don't have to be in the military. You're paying for the military. I mean, you don't have to be in the military. You don't have to know somebody in the military. Most people know somebody in the military. Some people, you know, maybe a lot of people, but not really. Only some people have family in the military, and then even fewer people are in the military. So who cares if you're in the military? We're talking about your, as taxpayers, what, you know, what you're spending that money on, and having people have a conversation about their experiences shed so much light on what you're paying for as taxes and our policies internationally. And you can listen to some newscaster who's never got their ass off of some chair in New York talk about what's going on halfway around the world. Or you could listen to people who enlisted, I'm just all volunteer now, enlisted, went over and did stuff, and then came back and are now talking about it sometimes 10 years later. Their perspective, their point of view, ultimately more useful and interesting in my mind than anything else I hear from a commentator. But anyway, the military interview shows are awesome. I chat them up every week and include them in my show every week. Now, sometimes I talk about 2A, but almost never, unless you count weapon systems on an F-15 2A. But this one is a part two. First one we're going to talk about is combat story. So the podcast is hosted by a guy who was in the CIA, and then he was an Apache helicopter pilot. So he interviews a lot of pilots, and he interviews military people. It's called Combat Story, but he gets into all those different facets like I just talked about. But this one, it's a pilot interviewing another pilot. And while there are pilot shows I don't watch, I understand pilot stuff, but it's too much for me. It's like listening to people talk about red dot optics and grip angles. I just zone out. I don't care too much about the details, but it is interesting listening to pilots talk to each other. And when they can talk to each other without getting into too much specifics, which is what happens when a fixed wing and a rotary pilot talk to each other, because helicopters and regular airplanes, you know, they only kind of fly in the air together, but they fly differently. So everything about how they fly is different. So they're both pilots, but they are essentially not going to get real detailed, technically, at least, you know, not getting stuff we don't know about. So this has been a really interesting conversation with a F-15E pilot. F-15s, I don't know if you pay attention to our aircraft, but F-15s are designed to shoot down other airplanes. So they had to kind of redo them to make them shoot at the ground. So they fly differently, and they're, you know, they're huge. And they fly like across countries to get to places. So they don't land on aircraft carriers. So they need an Air Force base and stuff. So they're just a whole other thing. And I think the perception is that fighter pilots or military pilots in general are somehow, you know, they've spent their whole life getting straight A's and never getting in trouble and doing everything with this goal of being a fighter pilot. And it's just not like that. So you listen to some of the stories, the origin stories. This is a really interesting origin story. So this one was a two-parter, and this was the end of a two-parter. And personally, I like the two-parters, but at the same time, it's frustrating as hell hearing half a conversation and then having to wait a week to hear the conclusion of it. So that's what this week was with Combat Story, was the conclusion of a two-week story. and a pretty interesting story for sure. Definitely a good conversationalist. Let's see, I put in this one, which just happened yesterday, I think. Sorry, this one happened a few days ago. The one that happened the other day was about the bridge. So this is the new podcast called Eyes On that happens on the Team House channel. So the Team House still does their shows on Fridays. So this week they had a, tonight they had an SAS guy on. But the Eyes On show is two guys, is a Marine and another guy. Was that guy a Marine? I think they might have both been Marines. I forget what the other guy was, but they're both were in the CIA. Wait. I think they were both in the CIA. I can't remember now. It's Andy and this other guy. The other guy definitely was in the CIA. So these are like ex-CIA analysts talking about news of the day. And it's just more interesting than listening to a regular news channel with a CIA analyst guest. Because when they're both analysts, they're just going to do essentially a decent job of education, how to look at something like this as an intelligence specialist would, and then the data, like then deciphering it. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of analytical deciphering of data by analysts so that they don't put their biases into it, and that can be super helpful because most of us are throwing our biases in or listening to people who wipe their bias all over everything we listen to. Woods is out there, welcome. Let's see. I'm an AZ, yes. And AZ doesn't change times, so we fluctuate with it. Since we don't change times, we fluctuate. And right now we're in Pacific, essentially. We're living in the Pacific time zone. Useful Idiots is great. We'd like it. I don't know if I've heard that one. Maybe I've heard people talk about it, or maybe I've just heard people use that phrase before. All right, so get ready for another one. So this one is, what's the name? Mic Drop. I've been listening. Mic Drop is the first military podcast I started listening to, and then I found Team House, and then I found Combat Story, and that's only three I listen to most of the time. But then I listen to maybe Sean Ryan and Ed's Manifesto as well. Mostly, I don't want to listen to too many of them because I want to listen to other things or do other things in my world. But Mic Drop is one of my favorites. He just does a great job of interviewing. He really cares about their health. They're like get up in the morning routine and their eating routine, and I find that to be interesting. Most people don't pay attention to that stuff, but people that are really kicking ass in their lives do pay attention to that shit. So it's really interesting to hear the, and it's not like there's one way to do it. They're like people are successful in doing different things, so it's cool to hear that aspect when people are open and willing to talk about it. That being said, another two-parter with Mic Drop this week. Mic Drop is the guy who was a Navy SEAL and then worked with dogs. So he's a dog handler and a Navy SEAL. And now he's retired and runs a retirement place for the working dogs, and then also places working dogs when possible. But when working dogs are too working, like too much of a hard case to live with someone, he takes care of them there for the rest of their time. And then he also brings people out to do the podcast live at his location, which is pretty cool. So they have to kind of go in the middle of nowhere near Dallas somewhere to show up and do the podcast. So this was number 180, and it was, I forget her name. Oh, Evie. Okay, I can't say her name. Evie something Greek. I don't know how to say her name, but it's a really long Greek name. And she was a Secret Service agent for a long time. She worked with Ford. She's not young. She worked with Ford all the way up through Obama. And then I think she retired during Obama or something. So really, really interesting. Such an awesome interview. Holy moly. She is so cool. I'm going to find other interviews with her because she's so cool. Like listening to her chat about the different stuff. It would be like if your aunt or your mom or somebody was a CIA, Secret Service agent. So she's just like somebody's mom or somebody's aunt or something, but also she'll kill you. She's really cool. Every podcast, Democrats suck, Republicans suck. Isn't that terrible? And isn't that interesting? Any news story is more important. You mean just in general? Superior, Arizona. Where is Superior, Arizona? I gotta think for a minute. Is that up by Lake Superior? I'll go down the map real quick. I'm sure I've been there. Lake 713. It's got to be down here somewhere. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's awesome. Yeah, that'd be a cool place to be. So right outside the reservations, right by Globe? Yeah. I don't know when was the last time you went back there. I've been here since the 90s, and Globe and Superior is crazy different. Holy moly, is it different. Yeah, and then Apache Junction is completely different. So getting back to, I think I mentioned Team House had this SAS guy on. I didn't listen to this one. I was working, so I'll listen to that one next week. And then what am I missing? I'm missing one in here. No, I'm not. I guess I'm not. Okay, so that was all the podcasts. I feel like I listened to some other podcasts this week, but maybe I didn't. And I know I only did one thing, so or I only have one thing listed here. We had a... Oh, I guess I forgot to put a couple of things in here. We did do a Tuesday show this week and talked about what is your why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Like, why are you here? Like, why are you listening to this? If you're listening to me, you give a shit. Like, nobody's going to be entertained by this. You're listening to this because you give a shit. So what is your why? And everybody's why is different, obviously. Everybody can change their why over the, you know, over your lifespan. But I just took some time on Tuesday to kind of explore that a little bit and to challenge folks. I don't know how long you've been here, you know, listening to stuff on the internet, how long you've been paying attention to the gun culture, how long you've been paying attention to the Second Amendment and its, the struggles between individual freedom and liberty and people's fixation or like interest in having the state decide what everybody else should do, like, you know, people that have like an opinion but want the state to carry out the opinion. Like, I don't know when you got into that or when you started paying attention to it, but we're all humans. So what happens is the playing field changes, and the people that are around, like, think about the Gun Owners of America, think about NRA, and think about Second Amendment Foundation, and who were the presidents of those organizations when you got into the mix? Not when you got your first gun, maybe when you got your first gun, whenever you decide you got into the mix, whenever you woke up, started paying attention, who were the presidents? Unless you did that in the last year or so, it was three different people than the people that are the presidents today. I mean, that Borat guy, does anybody even remember what that Borat guy did? You know what I mean? Like, there's people that just, you can't know everything. You can't know what came before you. And many of us who grew up with guns, old people that grew up with guns, it just wasn't the same. There was no need to pay attention to politics because every once in a while we got slammed and the rest of the time they left us alone. But essentially it wasn't like everyone didn't feel like they had skin in the game. They didn't feel like we were all part of it. And now we know that's different. We know that we do have part of it. We're more aware than other. Anyway, the things change. Our fights change, our abilities change and everything. So Tuesday was an effort to focus on that a little bit for a couple of reasons and hopefully inspire some people to do some stuff. So Tuesdays we try to do coaching so that we don't just take it for granted that everyone can just do this stuff. Like it's really easy to create content, you know, whether that be comments in the thing, right? Look how easy it is to do comments. Anybody can just show up and do comments. Comments influence creators all the time. if you don't think your comments are changing the future, you're nuts. Like, you are literally, especially in live conversations like this one, but even in those scripted bullshit prepared programming, they're still reading their comments. They might not read every comment, of course, if it's a giant channel with a blah, blah, blah. But guess what? They're probably paying somebody to keep an eye on that stuff. And if you're making a comment and you have a good idea, you know, like, hey, 9mm sucks. It's stupid fat. Everybody should quit using it. And then that catches on. Like, it doesn't matter who started it. It just matters that that good information finally got out there and people acted on it. And now when people are going, you know what, we need to make new calibers. Let's not make the 9mm caliber anymore. Let's start with a decent caliber. And then, boom, history has changed. So I've seen that happen so many times over the years. I won't even get into it. But so on Tuesday, what I'll try to do is continue to encourage people to be aware of that. That, hey, we're all part of this thing. And from every part of creating content, every part of interacting on the internet, you are valuable and you have worth. So take as much time and effort as you want to have as large a voice as you want. And everyone else out there, be aware that while everyone has the potential, only some people take the world up on it, I guess, and act. And we can't assume nothing. We can't take things for granted. We don't just deserve to have people speaking well on our behalf. We don't just get people to be active and do stuff. In fact, half the time, I would say half the time, a portion of the time when people step up to speak for us, because they want something from us, right? And if we just wait, if we do nothing and just wait for people to speak for us, we're only going to get sketchy people speaking for us. So get involved, be involved. That's what the Tuesday shows are about. Oh, let's see. Okay, so now we're talking about this thing that I got on the screen. The free course that Professor Yamane is hosting at, well, online, but from Wake Forest University. It's called the, it's called the 10 Essential Observations on Guns in America. Yeah, it's interesting. So the first one happened already. Was it an hour? Was it 2 hours? I forget. I think it was a couple hours. And it was in a Zoom, so you have to get used to being in a Zoom. There was 300 people in there. What? 300 people in there. And he took some questions at the end and stuck around for a while. And the next one will be next Monday, so it'll be a couple of days from now. And he'll have 7 of them all together, so 6 more. 5 in the next subsequent weeks, and then there's a week off where he has to do some family stuff, and then the last one is like, you know, skips the last week there and comes back for that 7th one. So so far, well, I've read this presentation before.
So he essentially
outlined it and kind of got everybody on the same page with how the information will be disseminated on Mondays. So you didn't miss it much. If you missed the first one, you can certainly catch up. There's no homework. There's no assigned reading, but there are things you can read, and you can ask questions. Like I said, he basically said he got a lot of questions and only read a couple, or chose to read a couple. I didn't get my questions answered. I answered two, or asked two.
Anyway,
so it's going to be interesting to check out, and you're definitely not too late. I think that's what Ashley was saying. Try to sign up for that course. Never got the confirmation. I'd say it's worth trying to check to try again. But worst case scenario is if you miss the Zooms, I believe he's going to post it anyway for everybody. It's just that the Zoom is live, and since there's so many people in it, and he says us and answer questions but isn't able to, you're not missing that much. You know, it's possible that if you were to live, you'd get your question answered live, but not probable. So yeah, I'd say being there on Monday is probably going to be encouraging for him and the rest of the people. It is kind of a neat place, but at the same time, if, as long as he's posting it after the fact, then it's not necessary to be there for the live. Yeah, I say that, and there were, trying to remember all the people that were in there. It was definitely a fancy Vegas buffet of Second Amendment folks. I know Shelley was there from The Complete Combatant, and dang, I can't remember. I'm getting tired now, but there was definitely a bunch of people in there who I had not ever seen in the same room before. Let's put it that way. And that's just the names I knew. Like, I kept coming up as weird initials and stuff like that. I didn't know how to set my name up in there, so I was just coming up differently than I would normally show up. And I don't know how many other people were in that position, but it is Zoom. It's something that more people are, it's easy to be better at Zoom than me, because I hardly ever use Zoom. But it's, I think some of the people that were really familiar with Zoom or really comfortable with Zoom had their names in there already, like correctly, like the right name or the full name. And that's how I could tell, like, oh, wow, we're a bunch of people. I've heard these names before. Woods is saying, I'll wait till I can watch the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's not going to happen until the end of 7 weeks or whatever. And then you'd have like 7 hours worth of stuff to watch. I don't get the impression that it's subsequential. Like, I don't think that you have to watch one. You definitely, if you miss this first one, it doesn't matter. It was just orientation. Like, all he did is reiterate what the course is about and how we're going to see it. So you didn't miss anything in the first one. The second one, I guess I'll let you know. But anyway, I'm just saying, I don't think you need to wait till the end, because then you'll end up having like 70 hours worth of stuff to watch. Or no, it's not that long. Like 8 hours worth of stuff to watch. Or do it, because maybe you got a binge or something. Maybe you got a drive or something to take. And in that case, that might be the way to do it. All right, well, with that being said, we did about an hour and a little bit over. So thanks, everybody, for joining us live and being part of the show. If you're listening to us in the podcast, you can also participate just in a weird kind of time travel way by making a comment now as you're listening to it. And then at some time in my future from today when I'm saying this, I'll be able to read that comment and interact. And the, what are they called? The logarithms that, maintain all these software packages and stuff, or all these websites and stuff, they will see those interactions, and they will be more interested in recommending our channel out there, our podcast out there. So we really appreciate that. All right, now I can't stop yawning, so we're definitely ending it. I feel like I'm missing something, but I don't know what it is. So I think I'll just put out there, Don't take too many things for granted. We're not here forever. Whoever it is that you care for, or people that care for you, next time you get a chance, stop, pause, and appreciate that. Take somebody to a special dinner or something like that. You got Easter this weekend. But in addition to that, not just on the spur of the moment or in a whim, try to remember to just make somebody's day better, as Hillbilly would say if he's still out there. Always a good way to leave this one. And yeah, we'll end this one. Have a great weekend and a great holiday, a great Easter, if that's your thing. And we'll be back on, we're not here tomorrow. I already told Tony we're not going to be doing a show tomorrow, but we'll be back hopefully Monday if I can arrange something. Otherwise, Tuesday. And have a great weekend. Put a commercial up here for our store real quick. Like, thanks again to Foss for hooking these up.
Captain, a vessel approaching.
On screen.
We're being hailed.
Every weekend over at gearwebsites.com, our online store, we have free Patch Friday. And that means that every order placed on our store on Fridays is going to include at least one free patch. So that's every order. No coupons, no minimum order, no codes needed. Place the order on Friday, and when it arrives to you, it's going to have at least one free patch. Your support means a lot to us, and financial support is critical. So thanks again to the people who keep us online through purchases at gearwebsites.com.
And we'll post this one here at the end for our friend Patriot.
Shit. Ninja? Ninja! Ninja!
It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with Music and the Truth Until Dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.